So here we go. We're going to open up the phones, no matter where you are. In our last hour here on Coast to Coast, if you want to identify that thing, which is that thought that grips you and you can't seem to get past it, Dr. Rick Collingwood will give you some time on that to help you get either around it or through it. And I think we have both of those options ahead of us for 2012. Coming up a week from tonight, we will be wrapping up part two at this exact hour, part two of our prediction show. And so over Friday and Saturday night of next week, we'll do the annual prediction show on Coast to Coast. So write yours down. Maybe yours, too, will come to you in a dream. You'll have a prediction and you'll want to share it for what you believe is going to be happening in 2012. We have a log of the ones from last year, and we'll get to some of those coming up too next week on Coast to Coast. Some of the hits and misses from the prediction shows from last year. So big now, we have to do it over two nights. And then after that, I'll be stepping aside for John B. Wells. And John B. Wells will take over regular Saturday night duty on Coast to Coast. I'll cut down to just once a month as I continue to fight this terrible tinnitus that's been plaguing me and the hearing loss. The headache, however, seems to be resolved, which is good. So we'll take whatever little victory we can get. And then also coming up in 2012, we think this will be your best year ever. This could be a big turnaround year for everybody. Wouldn't that be great? And if you can't accept the fact that it's going to be a turnaround year, if you don't want to accept that, it won't be. You can pretty much assure that 2012 will suck if you go into it with the belief that nothing can ever get better and or you don't want your life to ever get better. Then it won't. So then this next hour isn't for you. You can just stay with those negative thoughts. If they bring you comfort, that's fine. But if you want to break free of that, here's your chance coming up next. Grab a phone. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. So, Dr. Rick Collingwood, I get a lot of tweets, people who are sending me messages on the Twitter account. And I love this thing just because it's so immediate, and I love keeping in touch with people that way. But if you want to do that, too, it's at Deacon Punnett, D-E-A-C-O-N. But Genevieve, who describes herself in her Twitter account as, I enjoy life, cinnamon life with whole milk, which I track with. She said she just had a weird case of deja vu listening to us. She said you and the doctor were talking about Mesmer, and I was in the same place of occurrence. But I don't ever remember talking about Mesmer with you before, did we? Have we ever talked about that?
No, I don't think we have, actually.
So how about that? So she was having a deja vu experience, even though I don't remember talking about Mesmer with you before, but maybe we did. Or maybe it just happened in, like so often happens in those deja vu moments, we're really experiencing the same moment, but she's just, for whatever reason, 5 seconds ahead of time.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I've heard that theory a couple of times, that we anticipate, and so we feel like we've heard it twice, because we heard it once in sort of the, in our advanced soul that's going ahead of us, and then we hear it in our brain from when we actually hear it. I don't know
or
about that, but
it picks it up. Hey, can I just say I'm actually over in Colorado in May and in Los Angeles in March training.
Cool.
With Dr. Marco Perez. So anybody that's interested in learning these techniques, they're very easy to learn, and then you enhance them by practicing on them, of course, like anything. But there's nothing mystical or magical about it. It's something that everyone can do once they know how to do it. So on my website, there's some good discounts for listeners for training in the States, too, if they're interested.
Can you do, these are not your droids. Can you do that? Can you do, these are not the droids we're looking for. Can you do that kind of Jedi thing where you can plant a thought just by looking at somebody?
You can to a degree, but look, a lot of that is done with the eyes. We don't actually see with our eyes. They're lenses, and they're hooked to the brain, and they carry light, and on light is information. So if you charge a thought, hold an emotion with it, and gaze straight into somebody's eyes, they pick it up as a free thought or their own thought very quickly, but you can significantly influence people. The churches knew about this a long, long time ago, and that's why we were brought up being told it is rude to look into somebody's eyes. And then the nonsense, the window to the soul and what have you, but you can significantly influence people by gazing straight into their eyes and holding a strong emotional thought. But of course, to do that, you have to teach yourself how to do it, because it's very discomforting initially to look somebody in the eyes for more than a few seconds. So it's all done with practice, and there's certain techniques that really enhance that and enable one to shift information. But it's always it's an influential thing. It's not something that can be explained in a couple of minutes, but it's certainly very, very powerful. I've seen mesmerists in Europe that can do extraordinary things. You can pick a stranger out of a crowd, especially one old gentleman, and he will put these amazing eyes on and freeze them, even if their back is to him. So, you know, this stuff is not nonsense. It's just very misunderstood, and I'm certainly nowhere near that ability with it. But in my healing with hypnosis, it's using a combination of mesmerism and hypnosis. It's an extraordinarily powerful technique that yields great results. So I'm very excited about it, and that's where my main focus is going to be for 2012.
I can see that. And I went to the wiki page about Mesmer, and I was curious about him, and I want to get back to that, because I saw something that I want to ask you more about. But there's so many people that want to get through. Steve is trucking somewhere in California on a wild card line on Coast to Coast, and he's listening to Dr. Rick Cullingwin. Hey, Steve.
Oh, okay. And I was not going 72 miles an hour, officer. I'm practicing already with this.
How are you?
Anyway, just get right to it. The big question I have is, how does one overcome procrastination?
By getting motivated, by making yourself do things, and for a start, stop believing that you're a procrastinator. I have a great program on my site, Personal Life Motivation, that will help you with that very, very quickly. It's really just a habit and a belief that you've adopted for yourself.
Well, but let me, Steve, while you're there, isn't telling somebody who's a procrastinator, hey, just get to it, a little bit like telling somebody who is anorexic, just eat a sandwich? I mean,
yeah,
it's got to be more complicated than that.
Stop crying, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Where do you go with that?
You have to make a decision for yourself that you're going to move beyond this procrastination, and then you have to make yourself initially put in the effort to move behind it. But very quickly, you'll develop a new habit of doing that. And look, we all procrastinate sometimes. I think if it's really affecting your life and become a serious issue, it's always up to you to make the first step to move beyond that. And the first step is deciding that you're going to put some effort in to do that. And it's not going to happen overnight. You know, we have our little slipbacks. But once you change your belief inside yourself about it and use some self-talk, tell yourself, come on, get off your bum and get on with it, instead of thinking, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes for most people.
Hey, Steve, now do you really want to break the habit of being a procrastinator?
Absolutely. I mean, I got all the toys I need and just a whole other thing to get back into music and such. And I just sit there and stare at it. I don't even turn it on. And I mean, there's some other personal issues I've had with that in the past, which kind of haunt me, which I think is a part of it.
What do you mean by that?
Let's put it this way. Everything that I used to enjoy in life, a few specific individuals have sucked the fun out of it. And now it's just kind of like there, and I'm just not doing anything with it.
Okay. Well, you need to change the environment, to change the circumstance. You know,
I've done that drastically. You know, in fact, the troll has my house now, and I'm much happier where I'm at, but you know, as long as I don't put forth much effort, I'm still happy where I'm at.
Right.
But the things I used to do just aren't happening, even though I got all kinds of people saying, you know, not that I could do better, it's that I've already done better. So why not go back and do it again? And I'm kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to put you on hold here for a second, and thank you again for being a part of things today. We're doing kind of a special Christmas Eve, now Christmas morning broadcast here in the States, but it's already late in the afternoon on Christmas Day for our guest, Dr. Rick Cullingwin. I'm reminded of a quote that I keep right by my desk. It's actually, I see it sitting from my chair where I do a lot of the work I do on a laptop, just kind of a nice, comfortable place. And right there's a quote from Goethe, and it says, "Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." And I think that's something that we have to allow ourselves to do, is that if we dream it, We have to begin it. We may not finish it, but if we keep beginning things and be comfortable with the idea that we might not finish it, but half the trick is just beginning it.
You've answered the question. You've answered Steve's question perfectly there, Ian.
Well, and I'll say that again. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And I think that's where you just have to accept the fact that it's not about the conclusion, it's about the process. And we have power over our process. Let's go to Lisa in Los Angeles on a wild card line for Dr. Rick Collingwood on Coast to Coast. Lisa?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And Ian, I'm praying for you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
You're awesome. And Dr. Rick, my question is, I guess it's kind of similar to the previous caller. I'm a musician and a songwriter, and I have been having trouble of late making myself practice and write. And I love when I'm rehearsing, love it. Performing, love it a lot, even though I have some anxiety when I perform. But when I'm in it, it's great. But on my own, like just consistent practice, I get tired. I want to do it. I plan to do it. I get tired sometimes when I make myself do it. You know, I feel great, and then I can't do it for a few days. And this is really dogging me, and I really want to get over this. I feel like there's fear there.
How long has this been happening for you?
I'm sorry?
How long has this been happening for you?
Honestly, it's getting worse. The past 2 years, it's just kind of been getting worse and worse.
Did you have some rejection or embarrassment performing or what have you 2 years ago when this began, or did it just sort of creep upon you?
I do better. I used to live in Nashville, and when I'm really in an environment of songwriters and musicians, like 24/7, I do well. I'm very sensitive, and since I'm not around those people all the time, I lose my motivation.
It's like the group power sort of fades away from you, and you begin to fade with it.
Yeah, and I can and I like getting together with people, but on my own, I don't know what's going on.
You need to just start telling yourself, get back into this, girl. You've got to redevelop your enthusiasm for it. It sounds to me like if you're out of the Nashville environment, your enthusiasm may have waned a bit as well for, with the change of environment. You need to kick your passion back in.
Yeah. Is there any cool phrases I can say to myself to spark that passion again?
I would just be looking at myself and saying out loud, pick up that guitar and get it. Is it guitar you play?
And keyboard.
Yeah, I would just be getting on the keyboard and telling yourself out loud a few times, I can do this. And also it will help to think back to some of the great stuff that you've played and some of the good times you've had as you've done it, and just get into it. Like with music, it's really streaming from your soul, isn't it?
Yes.
I say write a motivational song. Write a song about motivation.
You hit the nail on the head, Ian.
Why not?
Exactly.
Write, if you can't write it for yourself, write it for others. Write a song that if you're going to put in somebody else's voice or your voice even, but how else would you write a song about motivation? And you write that song and it become a hit record, and I'll buy you breakfast at the Pancake Pantry in Nashville. Okay?
Nice. Okay, you got it.
Listen, okay. I have a really powerful program called Personal Life Motivation, too, that works wonders for bringing back fading talents or fading desires. You get some pretty amazing testimonials. So, you know, it's easy to get into the habit that you have and to stay there, but you have to take that first step to get out of it, whether it be self-talk or just grabbing the passion. But, look, if you want to feel that passion again, you need to spend a bit of time reflecting on the times when you had it. And you'll find if you're doing that, the feeling will begin to come back because the thought will entice it.
Bear is in Topeka, Kansas, on a wild card line for Dr. Rick Collingwood on our Christmas morning special now. Bear?
Happy Yule to the both of you.
And to you.
And you too, Bear. How are you?
Well, most of the time I'm too stubborn not to be okay, but...
That's a good attitude.
A few years back, I was working a corrections job, and I watched two of my coworkers decide that they were going to use way beyond excessive force on an inmate. I got in between those two coworkers, and they beat this inmate so bad that he was coughing up blood just because he was Native American.
Oh.
And I threw them up against the wall, and we had another officer who was holding the nurse back. The whole reason I showed up is because the nurse was screaming. Well, the inmate was hurt so bad that he couldn't speak English. And he went back to his natural, his birth language. Well, I was translating for him and the nurse, so the two officers looked into my employment file and found out that I was half Indian.
Huh.
Well, they started giving me trouble because of it, and I ended up quitting the job. Well, now every time I seem to go in for a law enforcement or a corrections job, that idea pops in the back of my head that it's going to be exactly the same.
Interesting.
And I mean, I will literally, that thought will pop into my head. I'll fall down the stairs and won't be able to pass the PT test.
It becomes self-defeating. It's almost like your self-sabotage is built in.
Right. And at least once I've gone into an interview and that thought popped into my head and I got the hiccups.
Oh, gosh. So it's literally choking your throat. It even prevents you from communicating physically.
Right. So I can listen offline to the...
No, stay right here. Go ahead. Rick, what do you think?
Well, I think you're going into fight-flight mode, or when you're going for these job interviews, it's like people sitting examinations, and all the blood leaves the brain and goes to the muscles and the bones for fight-flight, so clear thinking becomes quite muddled. I think that you need to prepare yourself when you go for one of these positions and spend quite a bit of time telling yourself that it is okay and you're going to flow with this. If you've done it before, you can do it again, you know. If obviously you have a good record in the past, it's just you're being blocked in the present to create your future. The other thing, perhaps you could seek some counseling or some therapy for the whole issue to, like, it sounds like a pretty serious thing that you're dealing with here indeed. So have you looked at getting any outside help with this, Bear?
I've talked to other people who have dealt with racism in the past, and
no, he just means sitting down where you really get one-on-one with a therapist. It sounds like something that some people are allergic to, but you know, there's low-cost therapy that's in every community. If you look for, you know, Catholic social services or Lutheran social services or Jewish community services, other organizations are out there, and they offer it at a low-cost basis for you to be able to sit in a room and have somebody just actually listen to this and hear. You might even be surprised what you would say, given if you really had to just voice everything that was getting bottled up inside of you.
Yeah, I'm picking up here that you're a very compassionate person, but I'm also picking up you have a lot of anger over this, quite rightly, yeah, justifiably, but you need to deal with that anger to get some clear thinking for you to be able to move into the future. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've ruminated a lot on this, and it just leaves you with a feeling of confusion and anger. For something serious like that, I really think you need to seek some outside help, someone you can dump this on, if you will, that has, yeah, some skills to help you work through it.
That's the key part, not just someone who will hear it, but who can listen. You know what I mean, Bear?
Yeah, I do. Normally, I'm the ear for everybody else. So
I get that. That may be why it's harder for you to, if you'll pardon the biblical reference, to bathe in the River Jordan, you know, to do the simple thing that you're being called to do. If you give into that, follow that, you might be surprised where it leads. I'll give you another weird suggestion, though. It has to do with Quentin Tarantino. I'll tell you about that, Bear, if you hang on. I'll tell you coming up after the break. Everybody else will shoot you the numbers so that you two can join in the conversation. Ways that you could clear out the cobwebs of 2011. Wipe off the lens of 2012 so you can see all of the blessings that are coming ahead for you. How do you do that? Dr. Rick Collingwood's here to help on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Just sitting here. I do another hour on Coast to Coast. but I'm out of presents to wrap. So I don't think I can keep going. But it's Christmas. Christmas Eve still for me. It's Christmas Day already in Australia, where we're talking with Dr. Rick Collingwood. We've got time to take some more calls, see if we can't help you looking ahead at the new year. If you are listening next week on Friday and Saturday, you're going to hear Jammed Lines. We'll try to get you on doing our annual prediction show on Coast to Coast, and we'll go over some of the hits and misses from 2011's predictions from you all last year, too. And then also, too, if you missed that show, you can always go back and listen to it if you're a Coast Insider. Easy to sign up. Find out more at coasttocoastam.com. Makes a great last-minute gift, as do any of the downloads that we've been talking about tonight from either Dr. Judith Orloff or Dr. Rick Collingwood, especially as you're looking ahead to 2012. And back to that thought about clearing out some of the problems from 2011 or things that have been holding you back. I'll get back to that Quentin Tarantino lesson coming up in just a second on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So, Dr. Rick Collingwood, have you ever seen the movie Inglourious Basterds?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Great movie, so, isn't it?
It is. It's a very good movie. And it's so interesting to me that Quentin Tarantino felt the boldness to rewrite the ending of World War II.
It's a shame it didn't end that way, hey?
Isn't it?
But yes. But
I'm going to go back to that, to the caller we just had who was talking about, you know, Bear, who was talking about having been haunted by some things that are holding him back now still. And I'm all about the therapy and everything, and I think that's going to be good for him. But what's interesting to me is I think that there are times when we should give ourselves the privilege to rewrite our past. And that it would be interesting sometime. I do this occasionally on something where I'll reimagine an ending to something that didn't happen. Most of the time in life, I've lived with very few regrets. I kind of do everything I want to do, and I don't really spend a lot of time feeling vexed about it. Other people might want me to. You know, there's lots of voices of shame who are always telling me, oh, shame on you for doing that. But I'm fairly impervious to that. But every so once in a while, those same sort of thoughts will come back to me, something usually in a very distant past. And I'll often sit down and just sort of imaginatively rewrite a different ending. And then I play with that. I sort of adopt that as my version of what happened.
Yeah.
Because why should we be married to something that's trying to hold us back?
And we've long learned, gone.
Yeah, and long gone.
Yep.
We've learned everything we can learn from it. So why don't we just write another one? Why can't we write an alternative version of what happened?
What a great technique.
And live by that. Yeah, I know, but why not? Who's stopping us? Is there some life commissioner that's going to penalize us for doing that?
About doing it's what's stopping us.
Yeah, I don't know. I got that lesson actually from Tarantino. I thought, dang, that's just really, why as a writer he was not held back by actual history. And I thought that was the true cleverness of that movie for me.
Plus, Brad Pitt, that was a classic acting on his behalf. I think it was his better performances.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. So anyway, well, there you go. That was my thought on that.
That's a very, very powerful insight, actually. Yeah?
Why not? I mean, and so much I think of what hypnotism is for me is being able to reclaim something. That we're able to let go of one thing. If we have our hands tightly gripped on something, and hypnotism helps us let go of that, but we can also then grab onto something else that takes us in a different direction.
And move forward. Exactly correct, yeah.
Let's go to east of the Rockies, where William is in Jacksonville, Florida, on Coast to Coast. William?
Yes. I got a question. I got a two-pronged question for him, if that's okay. Ask the major one right now. What do you do for somebody who is a constant warrior like myself?
Constant warrior? What do you mean by that, dude?
I've been a constant warrior. I've been worrying about everything since roughly the age of nine.
Warrior. Get it.
Yeah, a warrior. I constantly worry about everything. I'm honestly second-guessing myself on a lot of things. It's put a hamper on me getting friends,
yep.
Trying to find friends,
get that.
Jobs,
get that.
That sort of thing.
What happened around the age of nine?
Honestly, I can't remember.
There's nothing you can put your finger on?
No, I remember that sometimes with my parents or other people and whatnot, they'd tell you when you're a kid and whatnot, don't do this, don't do that, because you could get hurt. It's socially unacceptable, something along those lines there. But other than that, I have no idea.
Look, if you've held this issue for a long, long time, you're going to need something a bit deeper and more effective than some conscious suggestions from me. But look, I've got a very, very powerful program called Happiness and Self-Esteem. Mm-hmm. I think you might find that could work some wonders for you.
Okay.
William, let me ask you a question. Do you think of yourself as a, and this is, just go with me on this if it's true, or tell me to shut up if it's wrong, as a fear-based thinker?
Yes, I am, actually.
And you know that this is my opinion. Now, Rick, you may have a different thought on this, but I always think of fear-based thinking as deficit thinking. It can only take away. It never adds to. And so to be fear-based means always taking something away. You're always pulling back instead of going forward.
Yeah, and that's correct. At least so, that's how my mind works.
Right. So that thing about fearing, always being in fear, and the things that remind you, you trigger that fear mechanism, which then I think masks itself by calling itself worry. But it's really fear.
Okay. You need to break free of that and start moving forward, which is going to take some effort if you've had this issue since you're 9 years old. But all the self-talk in the world, it would help with this, but it seems to me like it's a rather entrenched issue that's holding you back in a lot of different facets of your life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask the same question again that Dr. Rick just asked you. What did you fear? What if you didn't give any thought to it except just give me your first thought? What were you so afraid of when you were nine?
The one thing that comes to mind is making a fool of myself.
There you go.
Not doing things the correct way.
There you go. That not making a fool of yourself. That, if that's your first thought, I would go with that.
And we're all experts at doing that.
Yeah.
It's part of life. It's one thing, you know, people really, when you're not in their company and you've moved away from them, they aren't thinking about you anymore. It doesn't matter what sort of mistake you make, you know, because we're always in our own thoughts. We think that we're so important to everybody else. But really, with everything that we do and who we are, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
So you can take hold of that. But you've been doing this or had this issue for a long, long time. So I would suggest to make a shift. You need to get down into the subconscious there and use a program that's going to really be effective for you. And you'll find that things just start naturally changing the way you react to your environment and circumstances and other people. So that's probably the best advice I could give to you in the short term.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's helpful to you, William, but I'm going to give you my advice, okay?
Okay.
Because I really like you, and you're like my shadow self, because the only fear I have are like mole people, right? So I don't fear much, but let me suggest to you that this is going to sound really mean, dude, so hang in there. But okay. this came to me from a friend of mine who went through the exact same thing, so she may be wrong, but this was true for her and it helped a lot. Is she had to come to the realization, in order to get over her worry about what others were thinking about her all the time, she had to get over the thought that people cared. That most people don't care. When she learned that most people don't care the decision she makes, they really don't care what she wears, they really don't care what she does, she saw what she was doing is actually kind of a twisted form of narcissism. That she thought everybody cared what she did at any given moment, and it was freezing her up. And she was just looking around constantly thinking that people were taking notes on what she was doing and the decisions that she was making and whatever. And when she came to realize people don't really care, it was very liberating.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Our own sense of self-importance.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds weird because you think of yourself probably as very humble and very intimidated maybe, but maybe it's the other way around. You just got to get over the fact that people, you could make any decision you want tomorrow. And it'll be your decision, but nobody else will care. Nobody will think you're a fool.
Okay. And also, I thought of this other one and whatnot. As a lot of people are probably going through this right now, what's does he have anything for people who are going through stress?
Same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. That the two are working hand in hand with each other, and one will complement the other. And you just go into the self-defeating circle, as I said earlier. So all that I can really recommend to you, William, is that you do something a bit deeper than working on the conscious level here. As I was saying, I've got something very effective called happiness and self-esteem, which will encourage you
yes.
to begin to have more positive thoughts about yourself and your own capabilities. It sounds to me like you're limiting yourself with your own thought patterns at the moment, with this fear thing coming in, and you're setting yourself up for negativity before you even start. You know, if you go up with this belief that everybody's judging you and you're worried about what they're doing, it's really like having one hand tied behind your back emotionally.
George is in Seattle on Coast to Coast. George?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Ian and Doctor. My wife had a stroke about 3 years ago, and We've been married 57 years, and we had a good marriage, but since her stroke, she doesn't know who I am, she doesn't know who she is, and she doesn't know anything,
sure.
really, and she's right. asking me questions all the time, but every day she asks me the same questions over and over again, and I'm wondering, is there any kind of therapy or...
Like hypnosis for that?
It would help her.
It would really require some personal one-on-one intervention with that. There's obviously been some organic damage to the brain at the same time, which has affected her memory. So I can't really say to you that I have something in a recording that would help with that. Has she had any improvement, or is she just sort of stuck in the same place?
Well, she has shown a little improvement, but she wasn't damaged physically at all. She wasn't injured physically, but she's been to several neurologists, and the one that was going to try and give her cognitive therapy, he didn't seem to understand it. She doesn't, her memory is only about 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
And he didn't want me in the room with when he was talking to her. So after they came out for about an hour, he said, and I've given her homework to do. And so right away I knew something was wrong. And then we were waiting in the waiting room. I said, what is the homework he gave you to do? And she said, I don't think he talked to me even. She didn't even remember talking to him.
Of course. You know what? I'm so sorry. And I think what Dr. Collingwood is saying is really valid, but I think maybe if he could find a hypnotherapist in the neighborhood or somebody who could work with her on that, that's sort of an interesting approach to that.
Yeah, I think that may be quite effective. On my website, there's actually quite a few USA hypnotherapists. I think there's a lady by the name of Stephanie up in Seattle, actually, that I trained in Los Angeles a couple of years ago. So her details are on there. But I will say this, George, were you born and raised in Seattle?
I'm afraid he's gone now, I'm afraid. So I don't have that. I don't have him here to call back. But
okay.
that sounds like a really interesting question. And I hope that he gets the help that he needs through Stephanie. And good to know that resource is on your website. And Vincent is in Orange County, California on Coast to Coast. Vincent?
Hello?
Hey, Vincent, go ahead.
How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long time listener, first time caller. My question for the gentleman is, what are his thoughts on willpower versus hypnosis? Meaning how some people can just get up
sure.
and do what they set out to do.
Right.
Others might need outlets like hypnosis to convince them, this is how I need to do it.
Good thought.
Yeah, hypnosis is very powerful for instigating, getting out there and doing things, maximizing your potentials. That's one of them. As long as you know what you want. But if you find that you're procrastinating a bit, hypnosis will certainly remove that. As long as it's not a deep, deep, lifelong held issue, you'd find very quickly you can change around and begin to go and do things and have the confidence to do them as well.
So you use hypnosis to increase your willpower?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, look, yeah. This is a lot of quitting smoking and changing habits needs a massive increase in willpower. But look, instead of increasing the willpower, another way to do it is to diminish your won't power.
Yeah.
Work in the opposite.
That's good. Diminish your won't power. That's really...
I use that on a lot of my programs.
I've never heard that. That's great. That's awesome. I may have been in your book, and I just didn't notice it. Wade is in Alberta, Canada, on Coast to Coast. Wade?
Hi there.
Hi, Merry Wade. Christmas. Trying to get everybody in if we can real quick.
Merry Christmas to you both. We're going to miss you, Ian.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I keep holding myself back. It's like procrastination, but I keep thinking that I'm doing something wrong, and sometimes I'm correct.
Right, but sometimes you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So what do you do for something like that? I mean,
you go to my site and you get a copy of Personal Life Motivation. And watch what happens. Listen to that a few times. It'll send you down into a deep trance, and you'll find that you'll begin to really move forward, and those chains will naturally fall away. There's obviously a time when you weren't constantly feeling you were being held back.
You know what, though? We should point out that just like losing weight, where the last weight to go off is the first weight that came on, that you may have to listen to these things or see the videos a few times. You can't just expect it's going to be like waving a magic wand.
That's it. They're correct. Although often they work very, very quickly.
Right.
Depending on the individual. But the one thing that sticks out like a sore thumb is that they do work, and they're very easy, and there's not a lot of effort involved in using them. So they're a very, very effective alternative way to make the shifts that people want to make, yeah.
But if it had been a longer thing that had taken a long time to come on, don't listen to it or one time go, well, that didn't work, and walk away. Just
exactly. It will tell you in the instructions that,
right.
that there's something that should be used for 6 weeks. But you can use them in your sleep as well, and the studies have shown they're just as
right.
effective. So, yeah.
Wash, rinse, repeat. Let me go to Ed in Pennsylvania real quick. Ed, if we get you, and I'm sorry we can't get everybody on for Dr. Rick Collingwood, but you'll be on there. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay. Real quick, I had hit a car one time, and the policeman, he came up real quick to me, and he was yelling really hard.
I don't know that we're going to be quick enough here, Ed.
She goes, well, what happened was the policeman came out, and she said to him, quit scaring him. And he looked right into her eyes, and he couldn't even look at her. And
interesting.
She happened to, like, he put his eyes down.
Okay, we're probably not going to have time for all this story, but that I think you're speaking to the mesmer part again. So when is your seminar going to be coming up again?
It's in March in Los Angeles at the Marriott Hotel in LAX, but you can find all that information on mindmotivations.com.
Boy, I enjoyed it as always. You know, you're a great conversation partner, and I love the way in which people can make both short-term and long-term gains through that kind of self-analysis, and those are great tools that you put up there. I've enjoyed the ones that I've gotten from you, and I look forward to a better 2012 as a result of it. So thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ian, and all the best for the future and for 2012. It's been my
yeah.
pleasure.
And to you, I wish you a merry day after Christmas, almost.
Thank you, my friend.
For everybody else, it's Merry Christmas and or whatever holiday you're celebrating. Deus te amat, and I do too.